will commence in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week beginning Friday, November 17th, 2006, this is the Rain Report, the audio ham radio feature magazine of the web, downloadable from therainreport.com and from arnewsline.org. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. July 1st was a red-letter day for ham radio instructors. That was the day the technician class license pool and exam were revamped and made much more relevant.
I am so excited now.
That's Mark Spencer, WA8SME, ARRL, Education and Technology Program Coordinator. Mark spoke to a room full of instructors at the 2006 Dayton Hamvention.
The old license was terrible. The test was terrible. There were so many irrelevant questions on there that it made it very difficult for the instructors. The people that were writing the test were not educators. I wish they were, but they were not educators. And they had, I think, an attitude which was archaic. Their attitude was, well, the code requirement has gone away, so to make up for that, we're going to make this test as hard as we possibly can. And I've heard some of the previous presenters talking about, well, I don't teach the frequencies. That's just something the kids have to memorize. How many of you, when you operate a new band, remember what the frequencies authorizations are? None of you, you know. I know what I do. I go to my chart and I look up the frequencies. So, man, if that's the way we all operate, then why don't we test that way? What ITU region is Guam in? Well, number one, who cares? Number two, I've been to Guam. It's a great place. And if I ever go there to operate a ham radio, I will learn what ITU region Guam is in, and I'll figure out what my frequency spectrum authorizations are. But you don't need to use that on a test. And so those are the kinds of things that made it very difficult for us instructors to teach the tech, because there were a lot of irrelevant questions. And it only takes one or two, and the kids in particular say, I can't do this, and they put it aside. The other thing that made it difficult was the instructional materials that we gave you. And I'll be very frank. Now You're Talking was a terrible book. I did some impromptu or anecdotal questions to instructors when they'd call me, and I'd say, do you use Now You're Talking? Oh, yeah. I said, what do you think about it? Oh, yeah, it was the greatest book in the world. And I'd start asking questions. I said, well, how do you use it? Well, there's some parts that are okay and there are other parts that aren't. Oh, okay, so it's not a wonderful book. So, okay, now how do you use it? Well, you can't follow the book step by step. I take it and I break it into chunks, and then I assign different things and the students are hopping around. I said, ah, okay, so it's not a wonderful book. And it took me a couple of years, really, to figure out why Now You're Talking was as bad as it was. And the reason was not because the material was bad, but because the organization of the material was bad. It took T0 questions, and it was the beginning. T1 questions were the next bank, and so forth. So the book was organized by the test. The people that wrote the test weren't educators. Many of them, and I talked to many of them, had never taught a ham radio class. And so they had no clue how people learn this material. So we had a flawed text. There was a concerted effort by a committee of a lot of people who got together and made the test better. It's not easier, but it's better. It's better because the majority of the irrelevant questions are gone. They're not all gone. It's not perfect. But the irrelevant questions are gone. So instead of knowing that what ITU region Guam is in, there's a question about basically what an ITU region is. And, you know, that's questionable whether that's important or not. We didn't win all our battles, but it's there. Instead of asking you a specific frequency on the 24-centimeter band, you know, how many of us has operated that? They'll give you the 6-meter spectrum, the 2-meter spectrum, and so forth, and they'll ask you which of these bands is 2 meters. You know, it makes a little bit more sense. Basically, the new test is looking at three things. Can the person operate the radio safely? Can they operate the radio appropriately, in other words, establish a contact, and can they operate it within the rules and regulations? So gone are those other irrelevant questions. So I think you'll be very pleased about that.
You're listening to a talk given at the 2006 Dayton Hamvention Teachers Workshop by Mark Spencer, WA8SME, ARRL Education and Technology Program Coordinator. We'll conclude this excerpt from Mark's talk in a moment. This is RAIN.
You're listening to The RAIN Report from www.therainreport.com.
The second good thing is the new license manual. The league actually ran a contest among the people in the building to get the most appropriate title. You know what the new title is? The ARRL license manual. I mean, and somebody won a prize for that. I can't believe it. But anyway, that's what it's called. Now, the new license manual has a scope and sequence, a learning sequence. It's more logical, and I think you're going to find it pleasant, a surprise. Now, some things that we're working on. I'm working on with a few other people to develop lesson plans. This is the vision for the future. The lesson plans are basically done in a format that's usable right now. So I encourage you, if you are interested in the lesson plans for the tech license, send me an email at my call sign, WA8SME@ARRL.org, and just ask for the current technician license materials. I will burn a CD and I will send them to you. It will be no cost to you, and I'm not going to take your information, put it in a database. Just please send me your address and I'll send it to you. Just realize that this is a work in progress. There's going to be spelling errors and there's going to be grammatical errors. It's not perfect. It's just something that's being pushed out there. The vision is to have this stuff available off the web. On the web will be a resource page. It's going to be a one-shop stop for you as instructors on our webpage to get the information. If you have anything that you use that you find very successful, get it back to us and we'll see about including it on the webpage. And then also the instructor's resource page. Now I'd like to close with one demonstration. What's your name?
Ian.
Ian, are you a ham? What's your call sign?
KG6WZG.
Okay, great. I'm from California too. Where are you at in California? Okay, I'm up in Colville. You wouldn't know where that is. It's out. So I have a magnet. Ian has pipes. Could you describe what the pipes are?
Aluminum, PVC, and copper.
Okay, so we have aluminum pipe, a copper pipe, and a plastic pipe. Now, Ian, we have a magnet. Will the magnet stick to any of those pipes? Does it stick to copper?
No, not copper. The aluminum. No, none.
Doesn't stick to any of them, right? It'll only stick to a ferrous material or a material that has iron in it. So there's no iron there. So the magnet's not going to stick to any of these pipes. What do you think will happen if you drop the magnet into the pipe? What do you think will happen?
It will just fall out.
Okay. His theory is it'll just fall out. Let's see what happens. I want you to watch the magnet as it goes through the pipe. So you look down the pipe as you're doing it, okay? I want you to drop it into the plastic pipe first.
It kind of stuck and then it fell out.
Okay, it just fell right through. That was pretty boring, okay? But you were right. Let's do the same thing through the copper pipe. So.
It went real, real, real slow.
Went real, real, real slow. Okay, now through the aluminum pipe.
About the exact same thing that happened in the copper pipe.
But a little bit faster, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what we have here is a way of demonstrating the fundamental principles of electronics. When I teach basic electronics, I start out with two fundamental principles. The first principle is when a magnetic field moves, it causes electrons to move. Principle number two, when electrons move, they create a magnetic field. So what you're seeing demonstrated by a $7.50 magnet from GaussBoys.com and a bundle of pipes that you get from Home Depot is a demonstration of those two fundamental principles. I need two hands to do this, but what you're seeing is a moving magnetic field as the magnet falls. That moving magnetic field causes the electrons within the pipe to move. Those moving electrons within the pipe create an opposing magnetic field that prevents the magnet from falling right through. It falls right through the plastic because plastic is an insulator, no moving electrons. You can use this to explain the Earth's magnetic field or how radio waves travel. Demonstrations like this do not have to be expensive. A little higher level question, why is it faster in the aluminum than it is in the copper?
This concludes our two excerpts from a 2006 Dayton Hamvention Teachers Workshop talk by Mark Spencer, WA8SME, ARRL Education and Technology Program Coordinator. Parenthetically, you can now access the 2006-10 Technician Element 2 Pool in Braille file format according to the Handy Ham World Weekly e-letter for November 15th. The file can be processed directly by your computer, Brailler, and does not need conversion. See the RAIN Sites Mention page for a link to the BRF file. You'll also find Mark Spencer's email address posted there as well. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990 through 2006 RAIN, all rights reserved. Reporting from the road, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, bidding you a very 73 from all of us at RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network. We'll be back in 7 days.